3. Now, as they rose from each dip and topped each hill, the dark tower seemed to spring closer. More of the spiraling windows which ran around its great circumference became visible. Roland could see 2 steel posts jutting from the top. The clouds which followed the paths of the 2 working beams seemed to flow away from the tips, making a great X shape in the sky. The voices grew louder, and Roland realized they were singing the names of the world, of all the worlds. He didn't know how he could know that, but he was sure of it. That lightness of being continued to fill him up. Finally, as they crested a hill with great stone men marching away to the north on their left, the remains of their faces, painted in some blood-red stuff, glared down upon them, Roland told Patrick to climb up into the cart. Patrick looked surprised. He made a series of hooting noises Roland took to mean, "But aren't you tired?"
"Yes, but I need an anchor, even so. Without one, I'm apt to start running toward yonder tower, even though part of me knows better. And if plain old exhaustion doesn't burst my heart, the Red King's apt to take my head off with one of his toys. Get in, Patrick."
Patrick did so. He rode, sitting hunched forward, with the binoculars pressed against his eyes. 4. 3 hours later, they came to the foot of a much steeper hill. It was, Roland's heart told him, the last hill. Cancanoray was beyond. At the top, on the right, was a cairn of boulders that had once been a small pyramid. What remained stood about 30 feet high. Roses grew around its base in a rough crimson ring. Roland set this in his sights and took the hill slowly, pulling the cart by its handles. As he climbed, the top of the dark tower once more appeared. Each step brought a greater length of it into view.